Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I'm your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmers.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, viewers and listeners. Our topic for today is...
I'm having second thoughts about my relationship.
Ooh, ouch, indeed. This is another one that came up because we've got lots of keyword searches, you know, about that very thing. And of course, I see it in the office all the time. So we thought we would do a podcast about this particular topic. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, we've got a bunch of things to advertise here.
So many things.
So let's start with the stuff directly from us.
Okay.
Including the book that got this whole business started.
All right. Oh, I didn't put them in order today. So there we are. Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
That's the book that came out a little over 3 years ago as of the time we're doing this taping. And it's interesting how I never can predict what's going to produce a little spike in those sales, mm-hmm. but you get these little spikes. So folks, when you see this, check out that book. Mm-hmm. It's a darn good book.
It's a darn good book, yes.
And the more recent book that just came out.
It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's not only about couples therapy. I will just put it that way. It's about relationships in general, mm-hmm. and about how if you start getting ideological about relationships, mm-hmm. it causes problems.
Yes, it does.
And that's true in the individual domain and true in the political domain and everything in between. And there's a couple other booklets I've written we don't have to talk too much about. I will put in a plug for my newsletter.
Yes.
You can hold up the freebie you get. Well, actually, you can hold up both of those booklets. There we are. You can tell we organized this carefully in advance, folks. 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life. That is a booklet that I came out with in the last several months. And this is the one that if you want the paperback version, or if you would like to hear me narrating the book, which mm-hmm. I think is actually rather good.
It is.
Good job.
Yes.
Then you have to buy it from Amazon. But if you just would like to read a PDF of that book, you don't have to buy it. You may, but you don't have to. All you have to do is go to ctn7.com. That's our podcast website. And you will see a box magically appear that says, click here to sign up for Dr. Chalmers' newsletter. And when you do that, you will receive a confirmation email that contains a link so you can go download that book for absolutely free yourself. And I think it's worth it because it's a really neat book. It summarizes a lot of the ideas we talk about in this podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's all about jumpstarting your love life. And who doesn't want to do that? You know,
exactly.
Even if you've got a good love life, it can always be better. And if you know, you can always give it a little oots. And if it's not so good, this will give you some guidelines for helping you restarted or started or do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And then the other booklet, since we're showing all the booklets.
Might as well.
My husband complains about my cleaning. What do I do? Hint.
It's not about cleaning.
It's not about the cleaning. Yeah, it's about relationship. And that's another one that I wrote specifically because so many people are interested in that very topic. We get lots of people. I mean, hundreds of people per month. That's the part that is just amazing to me. Searching specifically for that particular topic. It leads them to a blog post on my website. And so mm-hmm. I wrote a book for you. So.
Okay. Well, book part done.
Now we have our sponsor. Let's talk about our sponsor.
Okay. Let's talk about our sponsor.
And our sponsor is...
The Blue Tent, Erotic Tales from the Bible by Laria Zilber.
And Laria has arranged with us to sponsor her book on our program, which we are delighted to do. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, or almost full disclosure, which is to say we are involved because Laria has asked Judy to do the audiobook, which she has now done. And perhaps by the time you see this, the audiobook will be available. As of this morning, I don't think it was.
I haven't checked today.
But it, you know, if it's a few days after we do this podcast or sometime after, it's probably available. Mm-hmm. If you go to Amazon.com and search for Laria Zilber, or you could just go to LariaZilber.com, you will find access to that book. Judy, tell folks about the book. It's really,
well,
we both read it.
Speaking of jumpstarting your love life.
Oh, boy.
some of the things that we talked about. Well, we recently did a show on porn, erotica. A great way to jumpstart your love life is to read erotica, yeah, either to yourself or to each other. Mm-hmm. You can read it in the privacy of your bedroom when you're by yourself, or you can read it with your partner. You can read to each other. There's 10 short stories in the anthology, and it's based on characters in the Bible or Old Testament. And it's very sexy.
It is very sexy. Spicy. And I do feel like I should note, you know, if the notion of reading explicit erotica is a problem for you, then this won't be a book you'll want to have. I can't resist adding, though, if the notion of explicit erotica in the context of a committed relationship is a problem for you, you might want to give that some thought. I guess that's kind of what a lot of what we have to say in our podcast mm-hmm. is about. I'm not saying change your mind necessarily. I am saying think about it, because mm-hmm. you may be foregoing a way of going to much more intense depths of connection, because eroticism is a way of doing that. Mm-hmm. And I will also note, and here I'm departing a bit from our sponsorship here, but I will also note that we do have an upcoming, we have a bunch of really interesting guests already scheduled, one of whom talks a lot about the whole notion of erotic orientation, which is, I think, a really fascinating topic.
Mm-hmm. So we will get more to come.
So let us get on with our topic for today. I'm having second thoughts about my relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I'm curious to ask you, just for starters, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day before we knew each other, and mm-hmm. let's perhaps even before your first marriage, people know watching this, we're both, our marriage is a second marriage for each of us. But even before that, were you in this situation where you were having second thoughts about a relationship?
Boy, I can't think back that far. yeah, I think that there were, but I think I told myself, oh, those things will settle in once we're married, or we'll overcome that. I know.
Were you not broken up with? I mean, did you not break up with any of the people you were involved with before your first husband?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so that I'm kind of curious about that. You know, if you were the one who initiated a breakup, then mm-hmm. you must have been having some second thoughts, I would mm-hmm. think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, any of that?
Well, there was one relationship where I felt I was doing all the giving and wasn't getting enough back. Mm-hmm. So that ended that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another one where I felt I was being suffocated.
Yeah.
He was doing way too much giving.
Yeah, and you've, of course, you've told me about that. And, yeah. and I'm curious, what I'm recalling from what you've said, tell me if this is right. That one, it's not so much you were having second thoughts, it's that you weren't really in the relationship. He thought it was more of a relationship than you were willing to let it be.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
So the reason I'm, of course, curious about your stories, because they're interesting stories, mm-hmm. I don't have stories like that. I mean, I have a much simpler history, which I'm not going to bother getting into. But that idea of having second thoughts about a relationship, mm-hmm. you know, I suppose I could say is the driving story in much of the, you know, many of the stories that I see in the office. You know what I mean? Why else is anybody talking to me? Well, that's not true. There are varieties of reasons, lots of reasons people are coming to make appointments with me. But often it's about, ooh, is this relationship going to make it or not?
Mm-hmm.
So one or both parties are really often seriously doubting, ooh, are we going to?
Yeah. Well, you know, viable? Back in the 70s, lists were a big thing. You know, like you'd read Cosmo or 17, whatever the magazine was, and you'd make a list, the pros and cons, mm-hmm. right? Like, should I break up with him? Should I not break up with him? Then you'd mm-hmm. have your list. And then, you know, oftentimes the pros of staying together outweighed the cons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it was the opposite, then it was like a no-brainer. But so many times the pros outweigh, but a relationship isn't a list.
No, it isn't. It's fascinating. I often think a list is a good thing to do to give you something to occupy your time while you're actually deciding.
Right, but it does help you get your headspace. But you could have 50 things that, like a pro, why I should keep this guy, and then 10 things why you should break up. And sometimes the 50 things are, you say, oh, you know, like he sends me flowers. Very nice. But, you know, putting you down in front of your friends, that's like 20.
Yeah, exactly.
That outweighs that by 20.
Yeah, these kinds of decisions don't lend themselves to a quantitative analysis. Do you know what I mean? It's funny. Folks may know this from seeing this. I used to be a statistician back in the day. You know, I still have that brain going. And you know, but from a statistical perspective, or a lot of people, like engineers, will do this. You make your list and then you weight how much each counts, and then you have a nice numerical number.
Yeah.
You know, you multiply, you just add up the weights, you know, and you say, well, okay, I've got a total of, you know, 300 points of negative versus, you know, 200 points of positive, even though I may have 50 positives and three negatives, but the three negatives are all enormous, you know, whatever.
Right.
It doesn't really work, you know, it doesn't work that way.
No.
That the way we make decisions, I'll throw out a little nerd point here. For people who enjoy this kind of thing, read Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, because he talks a lot about the psychology of how we make up our minds and how it isn't so simple. And there's the part of us that's analytical and then the part of us that is not analytical, and they are both really important.
Yeah.
And actually, we make our decisions with the non-analytical part, but that doesn't mean you should ignore the analysis entirely.
Hmm.
So yeah, make your list, but you know, some say one of the best ways to make a decision of that sort, make your list, do your due diligence. It's like they'll say, if you're going to buy a car, you know, big purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go do your research, make your list, then go away, think about something else for a while, then make your decision. And you'll do better if you do that than if you insist on being totally analytical, because it's not all analytical.
Yeah.
You won't necessarily be as happy with your decision if you insist on being very
good
analytical.
Idea.
Yeah. And look, people who come to see me, even there, people vary all over the map and how much they're sort of left-brained or right-brained, you know, list makers or not list makers. And even the list makers are having difficulty. That's why they need the likes of me.
Yeah.
It's not such a simple decision all the time. You know, a lot of times what people will be looking for, again, just going by the search queries and also going by the folks I talk to, is it normal to have second thoughts about a relationship?
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, I do too. It's interesting because I think when somebody's asking that question, well, the classic on this, you know, night before the wedding or right before the wedding, and it's usually the bride, although I suppose I could say the groom, but you know, stereotypically it's the bride saying, am I making a big mistake here, you know? And you know what? You don't know.
You don't know.
Unless there's certain things that all of your friends have already told you, you're marrying a complete jerk. What do you miss? You know, and she's not seeing it because she's in love with him, and you know that.
I think back to Prince Charles and Diana.
Oh boy,
when she was having second thoughts, and I guess the story goes, her sister said, "Too late, Dutch. Your face is on the tea towel," or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and you know, with hindsight, you know,
yeah,
we should say it doesn't matter if your face is on the tea towel.
Right.
You know, don't do it. Well, and, you know, even when he said, whatever love means.
Yeah, whatever love
means.
It's like,
ooh.
Ooh, totally
love means. Oh, yeah. Ouch. Anyway, the other thing that has motivated our doing this is we have a listener letter.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get into listener letter now?
Sure. Why don't we do that?
All right.
Okay. So let me pull this up. And this comes from Allie, and she writes, "Dear Bruce and Judy, I'm a 36-year-old woman. I've been dating DJ for 4 years, living together for the last two. We have been talking about getting married. I've never been married before. DJ has. We don't have any children, and we don't want any children. We do have very different habits, though, and I'm concerned this could be a problem. I'm very much a morning person. Up at the crack of dawn, going for a jog with our dog, and getting all my emails and other personal business out of the way before going off to my job as a nurse in a doctor's office by 8 a.m. I'm usually home by 5 p.m. when I play with the dog and make dinner for me, which is lunchtime for DJ. DJ is more of a night person. He works at home. He designs websites, so he can make his own hours. After we have our meal together, he goes back to work in his office until around 10 p.m. I'm usually in bed between 9 and 10. DJ stays up watching TV or playing video games all night and comes to bed around 2 a.m. We have a nice small circle of friends we see a couple of times a week. One night during the week, we play trivia at a bar, and on weekends, we usually hang out at one of our houses. Our sex life is pretty good. We usually have sex on the weekends. So what's my problem? I don't know if this is the way I want to live the rest of my life. My mom tells me I'm too picky, which is why she says I've never been married, that my expectations are too high. People have lives that are pretty routine, and she doesn't know what I'm expecting life to be, that I'm 36 and it's time I stop looking around and get settled. Sometimes I think we're leading parallel lives. Am I expecting too much? My mom was a single mother, so I don't know what a good marriage looks like. DJ's parents were also divorced. Am I making problems where there aren't any?
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tricky question, Ellie. That is a very much a tricky question. You know, I can't resist putting in a plug for one of my books. I have a chapter in Reigniting the Spark called How to Know When to Call It Quits, which, you know, would apply here. And I want to apply my, you know, I have a handy dandy way of thinking about it, which when I say handy dandy, I mean to trivialize it a little, because it's like, yeah, don't take it too seriously, but it's a useful way of getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
You divide up all of your problems into two categories. Category one is deal breakers. And when I say deal breakers, I don't just mean not getting along.
Right.
Because that could change.
Right.
I mean stuff that is just logically, sorry, there's no solution here unless somebody completely changes their mind.
Right, like one wanted kids, one doesn't.
Precisely.
But it sounds like they're on the same page with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. They're not talking like one wants kids, the other doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking like, you know, she didn't say anything about where they're living.
Right.
Because I've known people that have a deal breaker because one just really needs to live in some, you know, like Florida, and the other needs to live in Vermont. You know,
right.
Whatever, you know.
Right.
That sort of, or in the city or in the country or whatever you want to say. That's not an issue there. There are no, people often use the term deal breakers for things like, oh my God, he's abusive.
There's yeah, none that of doesn't that sound like there's
none of that. So
there's,
the case. You know, the good news you could say is, well, there's no obvious no-brainers here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news. Of course, you could also say it's the bad news because it means, well, then how the heck does she decide what to do here? That's why she's so uncertain. She seems to love him.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say that. You know, it's interesting. She didn't
That's true.
Make a point of saying, I deeply love him. You
mm-hmm.
know, it would hurt to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm.
And it's funny. I'm just, as I'm saying this, I'm just realizing that would be important for me, though I have to say, I wouldn't assume it is equally for everybody. The assumption that from your primary relationship, you have to feel like, oh my God, this person I am so bonded with, I would be just bereft if they, you know, if they left me or God forbid died or whatever. I want to feel that way, but not everybody needs to.
Yeah.
I recognize that partnerships, you know, it like old fashioned view of marriage wasn't anything to do with love. You hope love would grow in a marriage, but marriage was about the stability aspects. Marriage was about forming a partnership and, you know, having kids, although they don't want to have kids, and creating a life together, being an economic unit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all valid reasons that people want to stay together.
Yeah, but I think it was also being part of a community. I think people are so scattered, there really isn't that communal thing anymore.
That's true. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's true. That when you're part of a very close community, you have lots of opportunities for intimacy. I'm not talking about sexual intimacy, but lots of opportunities for intimacy that you don't need necessarily from your spouse.
Right.
And so there wouldn't have been that expectation in lots of generations. All of that said, it is interesting that she didn't say, I would just be devastated to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, I'm not sure I want to live like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't hate him.
Right.
You know, she's not putting him down.
Yeah.
But, you know, she didn't say anything that indicates that he's all about her the way she seems to want him to, you know, want to be all about him. Do you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although maybe she just is assuming that we know she loves him because she's writing, because they're, you know, they've been together and she doesn't need to state that.
Yeah, right. And
but it sounds like more of a lifestyle thing that's going on with
Exactly. And let me so I mentioned there are two categories of problems. So there don't seem to be any obvious deal breakers here.
Mm-hmm.
The other category, therefore, I just call growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because where she says, sometimes I think we're leading parallel lives, that's the kind of thing that could be a growing pain in the relationship, which is to say that could change. That phenomenon could change. It could turn out that they could, you know, I mean, lives change over time in terms of how people do what they do. maybe he's always going to be a night owl and she's always going to be a morning person, but maybe there will be a moderation of that difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she may find that she doesn't have to get up as early or whatever, or that she can still get up as early. He may. You know, it's funny, I'm thinking about myself over the course of my life, and I'm 72 at this point. I get up way earlier than I ever used to. I get up earlier than you.
You get up way earlier
I
than
do.
Me.
and you're not like asleep until, you know, late.
No.
But no, I get up earlier than I used to. And the older I've gotten, I think that's been the tendency. And I feel fine. You know, I sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
I go to bed earlier, too, than mm-hmm. I used to. And I don't, you know, the only point of that being, isn't it interesting? These things are not set in stone.
Yeah.
They sometimes do change. And if indeed they talk about it, in a non-panicked way, perhaps they will find some way of finding each other. The danger, and this is what I see in the office all the time, I guess I'll call it a danger. I don't mean to say a fatal problem. I just mean, you know, the part that may well cause them some anxiety is if what she's asking of him, he perceives as, oh, another thing on my list. You know, he perceives as a burden. If you start perceiving your relationship as a burden rather than a gift,
mm-hmm.
you're in trouble. You meaning the relationship. The relationship's in trouble. Because, you know, oddly enough, in our culture, we have choice about this in ways that people in many cultures and, in the past never had. We have choice. We get to think thoughts like Allie is thinking. She's thinking, I'm not sure I want to live like this. You know, mm-hmm. is this enough for me?
Yeah.
Her mom is saying, you're too picky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her mom is saying, oh, you young folks, I'm glossing a little bit. Oh, you're so unrealistic about what you expect. No wonder you're 36 and unmarried. And by the way, why haven't you given me grandchildren? I'm not sure she's a Jewish mother. I don't know. I don't know if, you know, I'm of course channeling Jewish mothers, but
yeah,
she may not
be. There's plenty of mothers that say that,
exactly.
Not just Jewish ones.
Of course there are. And so, no, but you know what I mean? She's getting that pressure from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But part of her problem, and I put problem in air quotes, part of her problem is that she has choice.
Mm-hmm.
She can conceive of this being something that, well, maybe she could do better.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, she's a nurse, so she's probably self-supporting. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she needs DJ for a monetary thing.
Yeah, and that's another change generationally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Even in our generation, that was much more difficult for women to just assume they could be self-supporting.
Right.
Even though you all were. Yeah, I mean, not all were, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
you were more capable of it than our parents' generation was.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
nevertheless, the 36-year-old women these days,
mm-hmm.
at least the ones I hear from, I mean, whatever.
They're all working.
Yeah, they're working, and they're not only working. Many of them are in better jobs than their male partners. This
right.
In this case, it doesn't seem like necessarily she's making more than he is, but it wouldn't be surprising.
We don't know.
But mm-hmm. you know, nurses get paid a lot better than they used to, and website designers don't always make huge amounts of money. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, she has this sense she can support herself, exactly as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's a difficult one. So I want to address her specific question. And actually, I want to tie that to the title. I'm having second thoughts about my relationship. You know, that question that comes up, is that normal?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So first of all, am I expecting too much? I wouldn't say she's expecting too much in that, you know what expecting too much would be? You've met folks like this. I've met folks like this. Both men and women. Again, I'm stereotyping and thinking of especially women who are thinking, I want somebody who fulfills every need I could possibly have, and he's not, and so
mm-hmm.
I don't
on.
Like it. Move
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And men will do that too, actually. It tends to be a different set of needs that aren't getting fulfilled, but men will do that too. And that's unrealistic. In other words, if you're saying he's not perfect, so this can't be good. Well, yeah, you're right. You know what? That is unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're saying is, yeah, but I'm just not feeling it. That's not expecting too much. There is no guarantee that if she breaks up with DJ, she's going to find Mr. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way life is.
Right.
So,
but does she want to feel like she's settling? Because who knows if somebody better is out there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a really. This is one of those situations. I tell folks in the office this all the time. I say, you know what? You know what? This is a hard problem. As if they, you know, they're coming to consult me for help with their problem. And what do I tell them? You know why this is hard? Because it's hard. And they laugh. And actually, the funny thing is the laughter about that is actually part of the solution.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so calm down. You're not crazy and you're not stupid. This is hard because it's hard. And so now you can work with it. And it will involve, whatever she does will involve taking some risk. If she stays with DJ, she is risking missing out on something that would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
If she breaks up with DJ, she is risking not finding anybody better.
Mm-hmm. But do you stay with somebody because you want to, you don't, I don't know, is that a reason to stay with somebody?
You know, I think it depends on the person. It just depends on the person.
I mean, like, I knew within a month of knowing you that, like, you were it. It was even sooner.
Yeah.
you didn't know it yet, but after our first date.
Oh, that's your story. I didn't know it yet. I did know it yet. Well, I did know it in our first date. No, I didn't
but,
know that.
But, you know, when we dated, I kept trying to find things like, you know, red flags and signs that, you know, maybe this wasn't the one because maybe I was falling in love too fast and... But I kept looking for the signs. There never came any red flag signs or anything to indicate that you weren't the one for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't use myself because I never had those doubts with you.
Yeah, but you had past relationships before me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a similar. It was a very similar experience for me. I never had any doubts. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting problem though because I think we're unbelievably lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, and it, actually, I should back off a little bit on that. You were divorced for a long time. I was divorced for a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
So you went through a lot of, you kissed a lot of frogs, metaphorically. And I don't know what the male equivalent of that is, but I didn't have to do that. You spared me all of that.
You spared
me all the frogs. I don't. It's funny. The stories don't have the men kissing frogs.
No,
it's only
don't.
The women kissing frogs. Well, the women don't look like frogs. You know, that's but the men do. And that is interesting. You did have that experience,
mm-hmm.
but again, I've met lots of couples that, you know, they're consulting me about, you know, some degree of wondering about the relationship. And they find a way of making it good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could say, well, in theory, you could do better. But I don't know that I would never want to impose that on anyone. That assumption that, oh, you shouldn't settle.
Yeah.
That sometimes, there's a beauty in accepting what you have
mm-hmm.
that can actually result in a much deeper kind of intimacy that actually could be exactly what you thought you were missing.
That's true. And she might just want to adjust the way she thinks about it rather than seeing things as a negative.
But I think in that regard,
uh-huh.
it's not just about her adjusting what she thinks. It's also about her striking up some conversations with DJ,
mm-hmm.
who may or may, being a guy here again, I'm leaping to a stereotype. DJ's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to do that. Now, is that...
What's the problem?
Is that unfair?
Get up early?
Oh, no.
I got to bed late.
It's not what's the problem. No. See, that's what women always think. It's, he's just devil may care. What's the problem? No. He's terrified. That's the problem. It's not... He won't admit it, but he's terrified. Look, I have to put in a plug now. I have a video out
mm-hmm.
that I actually just recently made public. I was using it as a little bit of a premium for signing up for something before, but I stopped doing that. So it's my video is called... How to Get Your Reluctant Guy to Try Couples Therapy.
Uh-huh.
You can find it if you go to my YouTube channel or if you just go to my website, brucechalmer.com, you'll find it there. I think you'll find it there. Well, I'll make sure you'll find it there after we do this. And it really addresses that very issue. You know, women think, he says, overstating, but whatever.
Yes, go ahead. Tell me what women think.
I'll tell you. I'll mansplain to you what women think.
Tell me
right.
what women think.
Yeah, well, and obviously you can comment on that.
Well, look, I'm not going to second guess because you have... spoken with so many women that
well,
you probably
true.
Know what they think more than I know what I think. I don't know what all women think, but you've spoken with way more women about problematic relationships. So I'm going to go with you on this.
Fair.
One.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, with the huge caveat that, as you know, I'm not a woman. So got that. No, it is interesting to me. Well, and because you just sort of demonstrated it a moment ago, what I pointed out when you were saying, he's just saying, what's the problem? You know,
mm-hmm.
you were assuming he's just not worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, oh, no. It's not that he's not worrying about it. It's that he won't let himself admit that he's worrying about it. And when she brings it up, he resists and he tells her, oh, this is your problem. You should change, you know, all the things you think, you're right about all the things you think he'll say.
Yeah.
But you're missing the part. And the reason you're missing it is because he won't tell you. The reason he'll say no is that he's terrified. That's why. It's not because he doesn't know there's a problem. He's scared. He's worried about losing her.
Yeah.
If she says to him, I'm not sure this is okay, his first thought is to say, make that not be true. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And if we go, and then he'll click into all of the things that men worry about couples therapy. And as I point out in the video, they worry about it for good reason. They're not crazy to worry about it. They worry that the therapist is going to say, you need to think about this, which, you know, is sort of challenging to him, especially to his male ego. They're worried about the therapist will take the side of the woman, which is often the case, even if it's a male therapist, and they shouldn't, but they do. Yeah. And I know that tendency myself. And they'll worry that the therapist will basically tell the woman, oh, dump this guy, he's a jerk. And all of those are perfectly legitimate worries, because there are therapists who will do that. Frankly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They'll say, dump this guy, he's a jerk.
They won't. Well, I shouldn't. First of all, if you can conceive of it, there are people who will do it. Yes, but mostly it won't be that overt. But it'll be obvious that that's what they're thinking. And again, not just women therapists. Male therapists sometimes will do that too. So his worries about therapy are not ill-founded.
Right.
And nevertheless, the effect of his fear, and never mind therapy, just having the conversation, even themselves, the effect of his fear is to shut down intimacy, which just leaves her feeling worse. And so it is something of a crisis in the relationship if she's going to say, hey, DJ, I am not satisfied with this. And his first reaction will be to say, oh, you know, I don't know, do something, go see a friend, or, you know, let me make it so I'll walk the dogs, or, you know, what, something trivial, you know. And she's going to have to be able to say, no, I am serious about this. I'm seriously wondering if I want to stay with you. Again, perhaps she would then add, even though I love you and I don't want to lose you, I would like this to work. But we're going to have to talk about it because I'm not happy with how it is. That's a crisis.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to be able to face that crisis. And she's going to have to be able to insist on precipitating it.
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the marriage talk probably is bringing up this stuff.
And they really need to deal with that.
Before
he's been married before.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's interesting, though, because she didn't say what so many people say in this. He's been married before and he's really reluctant. She didn't say that.
Yeah, no.
She said, we've been talking about getting married. And she's the one expressing doubts.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, too. It's like he's feeling like, oh, the first one wasn't right for me, but you are. Which, you know, that could well be the case. He might feel that.
That could well be the case. He might be very happy in the relationship. And
Yeah, and that's a tough one. I have seen that. I know that one, where he's happy in the relationship and she's not. And, of course, then what he's thinking is everything would be fine if you were happy in the relationship, so why don't you go to therapy?
Yeah, right.
You're the one with the problem. I don't have a problem. Of course, as I point out to those guys, are you okay? And you're saying you're okay with her not being happy? And the guy is not going to be okay with her not being happy, but he's still going to think she's crazy. Do you know what I mean? He's still going to say, well, no, of course,
yeah,
I'm not okay
with
her.
It's your problem. It's not my problem. I'm happy.
Right. I'm happy. I wish you would, you know, which oddly enough tends not to be terribly endearing to her. You know, that just doesn't seem to
I
do
it. I can't imagine why not.
Yeah. So.
So, I don't think you're making up problems where there aren't any, Allie. I think you need to do some examination of what your expectations are, what your reality is, and where you want to go and how you want to proceed.
Well, and talk about it. And talk about it with DJ. That's the key.
She has to talk about it with DJ.
She has to talk about it with DJ and precipitate that crisis. And let me throw in the other thing. I said I was going to tie this to that search term, you know. I'm having second thoughts about my relationship or about, you know, my upcoming marriage or whatever. Is that normal? Well, that's a simple answer. Yes. Now, is that normal? It doesn't mean it's okay. I mean, of course, you say normal to an old statistician. I just mean average. Does that happen a lot? Yeah. Oh, you betcha. It happens a lot. And it doesn't mean that your relationship is fatally flawed, but it doesn't mean it isn't either. You know, so it's the same thing. If you're having second thoughts about your relationship, it's the kind of thing that if you're not able to talk about it in your relationship, that is likely to be fatal to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you are able to talk about it, it doesn't mean for sure that everything will be A-okay in your relationship, but you got a shot.
Yeah.
Because then you can actually, that itself is intimacy. If you open up intimacy, for the drinking game purposes, I haven't said the phrase yet. You have to tolerate anxiety, right?
Right.
You have to tolerate the anxiety of intimacy. Yeah, playing the drinking game,
take
a shot.
The second, the don't panic.
Yes, be kind, don't panic, and have faith. Yeah, you have, in order for intimacy, in order to be, you know, to take those risks,
mm-hmm.
you have to be willing to tolerate the anxiety. It won't be free of anxiety. To bring that up with a partner is going to be a scary prospect. And if you're able and willing and your partner rises to the occasion, that is intimacy. Sometimes intimacy means, you stay together and you have a lovely relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes intimacy means you decide to break up.
Yeah.
That's also an intimate decision.
Yeah. Well, let us know how it goes, Allie. And to all of our other listeners out there, if you have a question you would like me and Bruce to discuss on air, you can go to ct@7.com and write to us. Additionally, if you have an idea for a topic you'd like us to discuss, or a guest you'd like to have us have on the program, or if you would like to be on our podcast, go to ctn7.com.
And I will mention just, anecdotally, just recently we had somebody make a suggestion
mm-hmm.
and give us some feedback
mm-hmm.
and I turned around and said, hey, you want to be on the podcast?
And there we go.
And that person is going to be on the podcast.
Yep.
So we have that person scheduled.
Yep.
So if that could happen to you, folks.
That could happen to you.
Give us some feedback and you never know where that'll go. So let's put in, first of all, a word for our sponsor again.
The Blue Tent, Erotic Tales from the Bible by Laria Zilber.
Yes, and go to lariazilber.com, LariaZylber, lariazilber.com, and you will find all the information you need about getting a hold of the book available
mm-hmm.
in perhaps by the time you see this, three different formats.
Paperback and Kindle.
Paperback and Kindle
for sure,
and possibly by the time you see this, audiobook as well.
Mm-hmm.
And which Judy did the narration for beautifully, I have to say.
Thank
I
you.
Know this because I was the sound engineer that helped. Yes, any sound problems, blame me, folks. But she has a beautiful voice for reading that.
Also want to put in a word for, it's June 9th today when we're recording this. Happy birthday, Alex, my daughter.
Ah, yes, indeed. Happy birthday, Alex. That's right. And I'm going to mention something else. If you happen to be in South Burlington, Vermont on June 23rd, that Friday evening,
mm-hmm.
The Temple Sinai, which is our synagogue, is honoring Judy and by extension, they decided to honor me as well, which I really am pleased about. Judy was their education director for 23 years, and COVID intervened, so she's been retired for a couple of years, and they're finally getting around to throwing her a retirement party. But that Friday night is the one I especially want to mention, because selfishly, I suppose.
Of course.
Because I wrote a piece of music that called Awake North Wind. It's a setting from Song of Songs, speaking of erotica.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece of music for string quartet and flute and
voice.
Soprano, alto, tenor, bass
uh-huh.
singers. So we're going to have like 12 people performing this thing, which we're doing as part of the Friday evening service. It's for those of you who are Shomer Shabbos, it'll be before the Sabbath starts. And you can Zoom into that. And so if you contact us through ctn7.com and wonder, hey, how do I get the information to Zoom into that? We will be happy to give you that. And if you happen to be in South Burlington, show up at Temple Sinai at 6:30 on June 23rd,
mm-hmm.
2023, and you'll get to see that.
Yes, you will.
So
let's put in a word also for our...
Oh, yes. Ooh, there it is.
Merch!
Those of you not seeing this,
our
I just bumped...
Couples Therapy and 7-Word Merch.
It makes a nice sound on the microphone, doesn't it, when I bump the microphone with it. Yeah,
these are our mugs that we're holding up.
These
are beautiful mugs with our logo on one side and our motto on the other side, Be Kind, Don't Panic, and Have Faith.
Indeed.
In sizes 11 ounce and 15 ounce.
And I have to hold up, I finally remembered, to bring up our other We bought two of these, and one we use all the time. This is the brand new one. This is the tote bag.
It's been sitting folded up.
It's been sitting folded up for a while.
Yes. But that's okay. It's beautiful, sturdy material.
Yes, indeed.
And lightweight, and it can fold up really tiny.
It's a nice white tote bag with our logo, just like the mugs, a logo on one side.
And it's washable, too.
Motto on the other. It is washable. It is. We use our. The one that I didn't just take out of the plastic, we use that one all the time, mm-hmm. and invite you to
T-shirts and
yeah, we have
all
that
kinds
as well.
Of good merch.
We do,
which you can all find at ctn7.com.
Go to the shop tab there, and finally, let's mention our books.
Right,
or my books, the ones I wrote.
Right. So we have the two books, Reigniting the Spark. Reigniting the Spark. Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
Mm-hmm.
And It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
I suppose I could have turned around those two subtitles, but they wouldn't have quite fit the book, so that's right. And then more recently, the booklets that I have come out with.
Right. 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life, which you can get for free when you subscribe to Bruce's newsletter. And My Husband Complains About My Cleaning, What Do I Do? Hint, it's not about the cleaning.
Indeed, and that one you can get from Amazon. You can get them both from Amazon.
Yes, you can get all there.
And so, until next time.
Remember, be kind.
Don't panic.
And have faith.